He's the cutest little Santa, and he never speaks. We're talking Ziggy's Gift. Hit it. It was 1982. Jumpsuits and orchid jewelry were in. $9.8 million was stolen from an armored car in New York. Arnold Schwarzenegger was Conan the Barbarian. And Ziggy reminded us about giving and joy. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is a very special guest. You'll know him as a host of the Way Meta and Tubular Christmas Podcasts podcast, Sean Sotka. Sean, how's it going?
Great. How you doing, Jerry?
You know, I'm doing all right. Sorry I messed up your name there, but...
I get it all the time.
It's okay. You should hear Davila. They do Davila in Louisiana. I heard Davila a lot.
Wasn't Anthony screwing up your name too on Tis the Podcast?
Yeah, they all were for a while, and I you know, it's fine. I mean, I don't get offended very easily, so it, you know, it all works, but oh man. So, this season so far been pretty good to you. I know, fall just kind of started.
Well, it's been actually not too bad. My job, the big thing that pays the bills, that's been pretty busy. Now it's starting to calm down. So because I work at a university, so with all the students back, I get pretty busy. So now that everything's calming down with the students wrecking things, it's getting a little slower.
Well, that I understand, because you know, I work at a Christmas store, and so you know, we're starting to ramp up, especially I deal with a lot of professional light installers, and so they're coming in. We had our big like installer day, and it was just crazy. I mean, the volume that we did through there, it felt like it was like a late November day. I mean, it was like peak season on just that one Saturday, and it was only September. So yeah, I know what you mean about, you know, it's supposed to not be quite as hustle and bustle, and yet all of a sudden for us, I mean, this is like our time to shine, you know, like this exactly. Is go time for us. So
right. I'd always thought about working at some place like whether you work or Bronner's, but then I think, you know what? I love Christmas so much and I would be so busy doing that. I don't know if I'd really want to work at a store like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The best part is that when I come into work, like all the lights are on, the Christmas music is playing, you can see the wreaths and the garland and everything. So that's really cool. But yeah, sometimes you do get to miss, some of the more fun things, but you know, we make time. So like my wife's birthday is in the middle of December, and the only thing she ever wants is to go look at Christmas lights and have some hot chocolate. That's like her best gift, you know, to her. So, even though I've been working like, you know, 10 to 12 hour days, we'll make time to do that. And it's always fun. And, you know, we'll go get a pizza and some hot chocolate and, you know, go look at the lights. And there's this one particular neighborhood where they go like all out. They have police and you know, they direct you in the traffic and everything in certain ways. And there's signs and people on the side of the road selling hot chocolate and candy, popcorn, things like that. So you can enjoy the season and the light show, really. And so we always make time for that. Even if it's, you know, the most stressful, awful day, it's always fun just, and you know, seeing the kids and hearing them go, oh, look at that one. And, you know, stop pointing out the different houses. So,
oh, yeah, I remember doing that with my kids too. And it's great. Yeah, you got a real trophy wife there. I mean, that's a perfect date in my book too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I love a good cheap date. But on a more serious note, we're actually talking today about Ziggy's Gift. And when I had, you know, sent you a list of possibilities to do, this is one that you kind of zeroed in on. And, you know, this is one that I remember growing up and I always liked it. Mm-hmm. But it always kind of bothered me that I never got to hear Ziggy's voice.
Now, he never talks in the whole show.
The
whatsoever.
Whole thing, he doesn't. And I've read some places that if you listen very carefully, you can hear him singing. But I tried, and I couldn't make out which one was supposed to be him, which one was supposed to be the thief, or
I think
it was
he and
the
thief were kind of really close together.
Yeah. I couldn't quite tell which one was which. So I felt a little bit cheated out of hearing Ziggy's voice.
Well, I've got the DVD of it, and it's got the extras on there, and it's got actually little clips, like 2 or 3 minute clips, and he actually has a voice in those little animated clips.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all. Now I got to go buy the DVD. This is one I don't own, mostly because it's actually, you can find it online. And so I don't own it because of that. Same thing with Muppet Family Christmas. You know, they have versions with the original commercials online. And nice. So I decided not to buy the DVD. I just watch it online, which, you know, shame on me. I know I should support them, but they cut out so much in the DVD that I feel, I kind of feel robbed as well with that. So this is, now I kind of want to go get it just to hear what he sounds like.
Yeah, it's a really interesting voice, and it's not what you expect from Ziggy. It's more of a mature male voice is what it
really
is. It's kind of neat to hear, but it's not necessarily what you'd expect coming from Ziggy.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, it's funny because everybody else in the special, you know, and kind of like the cartoon, they're all pretty well, formed. They have distinguishing features, where Ziggy is just kind of round. And the only thing really, distinguishing about him is his nose. But, it's I noticed the detail on like the TV announcer or the lone guy. The corrupt lone guy, I should say. I mean, everybody's very detailed, even Officer O'Connor. I mean, it's just, like something about the way they were drawn is just, it was a lot more distinct, as people than Ziggy himself is. And I think that's also what kind of makes him shine in this.
Yeah, I read too that Tom Wilson actually drew him intentionally that way just to be more of a round, squishy, lovable kind of person that you just kind of want to squeeze and hold.
Which he definitely is. Yeah. Yes. I showed it to my kids for the first time tonight, and they they loved it. They were just laughing and at the end my daughter was like, Ziggy really was Santa. Cuz every time they'd open that bag, and the golden glow of the bag, and so she thought that he had the power to make things appear and make it special. And I thought, he really did have the power to change people's hearts, because, he affects the policeman, he affects the thief even.
Yep.
And of course he helps so many people on the way. And so it's
helps the Toikies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just it's
Toikies. Say that all the time. I love that. That's like my favorite part of the movie. Just the way that the deli guy says Toikie.
The Toikies, yeah. Yeah, he does help them. Then they're running all over the street. So, I was going through and I thought, well, she's not wrong. I mean, she might not be exactly right, but she's also not wrong. And so it's one of those that I always like the special, because it shows a lot of the giving to, those less fortunate. And so to me, it's really something different, because you don't get a lot of that in animated features.
Well, and Ziggy too, if you notice in the beginning of his room, his house, he doesn't have a whole lot himself.
It was pretty sparse.
Really sparse, and yet he's doing all his giving. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much the essence of Christmas, is you don't have to have a whole lot to give. Mm-hmm. And granted, he had a little help from his pot to give money and stuff, but that was in essence too, so he could actually give of himself to help other people. Mm-hmm. Whether it be releasing the turkeys or giving to the Salvation Army singers there, whatever it is, he's helping others with what it is. And it's his wanting to give. And that's what makes him so endearable, is that he doesn't think of himself. He thinks of others.
Yeah. Yeah. I love at the end, and we'll get to it, but I just love at the end when, the thief has emptied all of his sack and there's still, one more thing in there. And Ziggy just kind of like looks at him and he's like tapping his foot with his arms crossed, and
like, come on, buddy. One more thing here. Come on, buddy.
Exactly. It's so good. It's such a good one. I mean, it's so good that it actually won, an Emmy for you know, outstanding animated feature. So it's one of those that you know it's got to be good if it win, you know.
Well, especially considering it's the first and only Ziggy special too.
Yes, I would have liked to have seen more, honestly. I think Ziggy as a character, I mean, his comics are always funny. So right. You know, why not expand that? And I don't know if it just didn't do commercially well, or I don't know what the reason is that they decided not to do any more, but
I haven't found out anything on that either.
So. Yeah, I haven't either. And so I don't know, but I think that's a shame. I think we could have had a lot of cool, really, really, you know, funny, touching, sweet Ziggy, you know, specials. And
right.
But anyway, but yeah, so Tom Wilson invented Ziggy in the mid 60s. He was working at American Greetings, and he actually got it done in the gift book there. And, you know, it kind of got around to Kathleen Andrews, who was starting up Universal Press Syndicate, and they really needed like a mascot comic kind of feature. And so she licensed it to him, and he kind of tightened up the drawings, tightened up the story, essential, you know, quote unquote story. And he gave him a name, which was Ziggy. And apparently he named him Ziggy because, you know, being his last name was Wilson, he was always towards the end of the class. So whenever a kid came in with the last name that started with the Z, you know, he thought it was like the coolest thing in the world that he wasn't last anymore. And so, you know, he took that Z and then just added the Y ending, you know, like Tommy, Billy, right. you know, Joey kind of thing. And so from there he created Ziggy, and it stuck. And I mean, Ziggy's been, he's had so many appearances, so many comics. I mean, if you think about it, there was even a Seinfeld episode about him. I don't know if you were a big Seinfeld fan.
No, never was, but that's interesting.
Yeah. So there's Elaine is working with Jay Peterman, like for the Jay Peterman catalog. And she writes a little cartoon with like a pig or a cat or something. And he goes to a complaint department at a store, and he's like, I wish I was taller. Like, you know, and that's supposed to be the comic. And she's submitting it to the New Yorker when suddenly Peterman himself comes in and he sees the comic. He's like, someone's ripped off a Ziggy. That's a Ziggy cartoon, you know, a Ziggy comic. And so then the whole episode is he's trying to figure out who it was that drew it. And
right.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But I mean, that's the impact that the character has had throughout, throughout right. its tenure there from 71 to the present.
Right. And really interesting is Tom Wilson's son, Tom Wilson II, has taken over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from what I've seen, it really hasn't dropped a whole lot, because dad and son probably had the same mindset. And even in the comic strips, like we mentioned before, Ziggy doesn't speak. In his comic strips, he does.
Yeah, which is why I was kind of bummed when I never heard him speak in the special. I wanted to hear what he sounded like, you know, right. So whenever I was reading the comic, I could kind of, you know, picture that voice. And, you know, so unfortunately I'm going to have to get that DVD so I can figure out what it sounds like, but.
Right. But the thing is too, even though he doesn't speak, it's kind of like the Mandalorian today. You don't see his face, but he can still emote.
Yes.
His actions.
Oh yeah.
He does. He does all these emotions. He gets you feeling just by what he does and what he said without saying anything. Mm-hmm. Really.
Yeah, he doesn't speak, and yet he speaks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. what is your experience with Ziggy in general?
I remember watching this when it first came on television.
Nice. And
yeah, I was just about hitting my teens at the time. It was 82 when this came out, mm-hmm. correct?
82, yeah.
Yep. So I was 9 at the time.
Okay.
And I just dated myself.
That's so, okay.
But I mean, at that time, I never really lost it, but I was still huge into Christmas then, loved all the specials. That's back in the days, not like today where you can pull up a special, but these ones you had to get out the TV guide and plot out your week. And if you missed it, I mean, your week was shot.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
So this one came out and watched it the first time. I remember watching it with my mom, and like I said, the Toikies. That was the biggest thing, Toikies.
I remember that too. It was so funny. So. the thick accent of the butcher there at that meat mart.
Right. And that's one thing I noticed on the rewatch. I mean, I watched it like 3 times today just because I don't necessarily get very critical of shows, especially right. like I love. I just do it from nostalgia and love of it.
Yeah, and that's what I. Yeah, that's my whole ethos too. Yeah, in general.
But yeah. Watching this is they kind of stereotype these characters. The deli man with his accent, O'Connor.
Yeah.
I mean, Irish policeman.
His Irish brogue.
Yeah, and then you got the thief with that little, he's like pencil thin and really gray looking.
Yeah.
It's amazing the stereotypes they put into this.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. And at the time we didn't notice it because that's not really, it wasn't really right. something that was, I don't know, as sensitive as it is today.
Right.
Yeah, it was just, it's like, oh yeah, the Irish cop, no big deal. Keep going, you know?
Yep. Yep. I mean, that was a trope back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure was. I mean, even in Batman 66, you know, you have Chief O'Hara as well, you know. So, I mean, it's something that was always around. And, you know, it's you're right. It's something that I noticed as well. But I did think there was kind of, even if you could consider it problematic by today's standards, back then, I don't know, it was kind of just very nostalgic and like a warm blanket almost to me to relive some of that, even though I know that, you know, not all deli owners and butchers are, you know, have that accent. And I mean, it's just
not
something about it.
Not all
cops
are Irish, yep.
Exactly. But it did kind of bring me back to that time.
Well, I think too, when they did that, they did the stereotypes. They did it not so much as a knock on the stereotype, more as an homage. So that's mm-hmm. why I think it could still hold up today, because they're not knocking the stereotype. It's like, okay, this is how it used to be, and we're just paying homage to it. At least that's how I feel about it.
Well, and if you think about it, they're all very successful at what they do. So mm-hmm. the butcher, yeah, he does sell all his turkeys, if you think about it. And the cop, he catches all of the fraudulent Santas and their ringleader, you know? So it is something that at least they're successful at what they do, and they're not like a joke.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they don't make them look like a joke and stuff, even though they do have their funny moments in it.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But I think the whole thing starts when, you know, Ziggy's waking up essentially, and he turns on his TV, and he's like brushing his teeth, and he goes to get the paper in the front.
Yeah. Well, he's brushing his teeth, he squeezes the toothpaste, and
I always love this bit.
It's everywhere else. He gets it all over the place, and his little dog, I forget what the dog's name is.
I think it's Fuzz.
Fuzz, yeah.
Fuzz, he's like
growling at this toothpaste on the floor.
Well, it's funny because today when I was watching it with my daughter, she was saying, what are those things? What's he doing? And so I was saying, he's squeezing the toothpaste, but instead of coming out of the tube nozzle there, it's coming out like all over. And so she kind of had to really think about it. And I could see the gears turning in her head. Because it's funny, it kind of looks like Aquafresh, you know, it's like a candy cane or mint kind of toothpaste. It's multicolored there.
Right. And what kind of strength does Ziggy have to, when he squeezes it, it comes out, because those are hard plastic even back then.
Yes, they were.
What kind
of
strength does he have to make it come out the sides?
Or he just buys the really cheap stuff. I don't know.
That could be too. So and then the paper, that's another one. You see him jump out 2 feet off when the paper hits the door.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What's in that paper?
Maybe it was the Sunday paper. That thing was always so massive compared to the rest of the week.
Exactly.
But yeah, I love. There's a funny recurring thing where his wreath like keeps getting knocked off, and
yeah, and the newspaper hits the door, and the wreath is still on the door. But yet he shuts the door, and 30 seconds later, boom, it falls.
Yeah, yep. But I love how on the news they're talking about like this ring of Santas that seem to be taking, essentially stealing money. You know, mm-hmm. they're posing, they're fraudulent Santas, and so a lot of needy people are not going to get the help and the Christmas that they deserve because these Santas are actually taking all the money for themselves. And it's not like he's really watching or listening, I guess, because as he reads the paper, he sees the little ad that, you know, Santa's wanted, you know, help needed. And so from there, he's like, oh, I got an idea. Let me do this kind of a thing. And so he starts immediately getting dressed.
And that's a fun venture in itself too. The little guy making stairs out of his dresser drawers.
Yeah.
Running yeah. right on up and then coming through. And then again, a feat of strength. He just kicks it with his foot and psh.
Yep. I love that cartoon logic.
Yeah. And then you ever notice he never gets out pants?
No, you're right.
He never gets out pants.
He's well, and you know, most of the time they don't show him wearing pants. But when he did take off his nightshirt,
yeah, he had boxers.
I noticed he had, yeah, the boxers with the little red hearts on them or polka dots. I couldn't tell which one it was.
And then another voice of the dog, or Ziggy's dog, is which is listed in IMDb, and Cat and the Toikies. Frank Welker voices them.
Nice. Classic. The infamous
Frank Welker.
Yeah. I mean, he's been every like animal voice in every cartoon ever.
Exactly. And then some. So, but otherwise they really don't have anything listed in IMDb about who, I mean, they got the voices in it, but not what characters they voice.
They're just
voice, announcer, butcher, Tony Giorgio. Yeah. Something like, yeah, I can't remember. And then Tom McGreevy as Officer O'Connor. And then that's a crooked Santa. That was that big fat crooked Santa.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Richard Williams. And that's the only ones they have actual names for the characters, but they do have a list of people who are in it. Nothing other than Frank Welker that really stands out to me.
Yeah. He's the only one I recognized. He's talking about basically this huge citywide scam that's being, you know, perpetrated, and police are on the lookout. They're trying to stop it because of all this. And, I love that Ziggy just kind of ignores it all. He's just like so excited. He sees the Santa, you know, help wanted, and he's going to go be a Santa.
And they were going to go on scene to it. And he turned it off before they go to on scene.
Yep.
So he would have seen where it was.
He would have known exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That just goes to show you how people can just get tunnel visioned.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. But I love how he's, you know, he's passing by, and I mean, we get like the Salvation Army singers, and I mean, just all this cool things going on. And for some reason he takes a sled with him. I'm not sure why he takes a sled. Is it to carry his pot? Is that like his whole purpose?
Maybe, yeah. I think that might've been what it was. I mean, he had the sled outside the door from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe he just brings it along just in case something comes up that he can put stuff on it, which it does in the special.
It does. Yeah.
He brings it with so he can tow stuff around, because bringing his dog around on, I love his leash, which is his scarf.
His scarf, yeah.
So, and the dog's got to be a part cat, because the nine lives that dog has, just misses getting hit by a truck.
Right.
And drops the tree.
And yet the tree, yeah, this little scrawny Charlie Brown-esque tree kind of falls out. And yep. Ziggy sees it and is like, yeah, this is great. And he puts it on.
Well, he saves the dog because there's that taxi cab.
Oh, I forgot about the taxi cab. You're right.
Yep. Taxi and honking its horn, and I love how fast they can move on that wet snow with everything sliding around. So,
see, again, and I
cartoon logic.
Being from Texas, I have no idea about that, so I'm gonna defer to your knowledge there.
You guys have had ice down there, haven't you? Ice storms.
Yeah.
Can you see how fast you guys can get going on that?
Well, that's true, I guess. I mean, I normally, whenever that happens, I kind of just stay in. But
probably not a bad idea down there.
Well, yeah, you're right. People, we don't know how to drive in snow or ice or anything down here. So we kind of, yeah. So I just stay in if I can, if I don't have to go to work or anything.
Right. I don't know if you noticed either, going back to his office, he had a to-do list up on the wall.
No, I missed
that. It says to-do list. It says get new pencil. In red, and then under that says make to-do list.
that's very Tom Wilson there. Oh, I mean, like you can imagine seeing that in the Sunday paper, and
exactly, yeah, just that funny little stuff in the background that if you're looking closely, you catch it, you just laugh at.
But I love how, you know, so he finds that tree, he puts it on his sled, and the cop, like, already starts to get suspicious of him. He's like, hey, what are you doing here with this, you know, this sled in the tree here? You know, people, you're just crowding up the street. And I mean, it's like so weird that the cop would be telling him that. That part I never quite understood, but
yeah, I don't know.
I think it's just set up and everything. Exactly. Yeah. Just to say that now the cop is going to be a little suspicious of him.
Well, especially, did you see how Ziggy was reacting, that big smile and rocking back and forth, like, I'm innocent?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm sure that didn't help any either.
No, probably not.
You could get somebody hurt and he clubs himself with his nightstick.
Yes. It really is brilliant. There's like a lot of little gags here and there that if, like you mentioned, if you blink, you're going to miss it.
Yep.
So he keeps going and he gets to the, it was a fly by night loan company. Although you don't know that until, cause it has a sign there about Santa's wanted.
And nice professional looking sign looked like it was made in crayon and put on in tea.
And then when they close the door, it falls down and you can see the fly by night.
Yep. And of course the dog's looking at it like, what the heck is this? The dog, Ziggy's dog seems pretty, pretty aware of everything else. That kind of Ziggy lets go.
Mm-hmm.
So
he always seems to know what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah. I like Fuzz there. And so Ziggy's interviewing and the guy's kind of going on about people of goodwill and, he's got the glasses.
So hard to find good help these days.
Good help, yeah.
He's a total car salesman and a loan shark trying to pull off the scam.
Which is funny because, when the ink gets all over the paper and then he's like, well, I'll just file that here. And he just takes it and throws it right into the trash can.
Yep. Yep. I always like that too. Oh, we'll just file that here. Like I see in the circular file.
Yeah. File 13.
Yeah. And another funny part is, okay, just stand up and we'll get to see if this on turns on. Oh, you are standing.
Oh yeah.
Another one of those short jokes.
But I love how he puts the Santa, coat on him and it's like, it's crazy big on him. And Ziggy kind of looks at his hands like, hey, my arms kind of fit through in these, and then he's like, and the hat, and he puts the hat on and he's just like this cute little guy. And then he goes to the other room and is like, I'm just going to tell everybody else, all the other applicants, that the position has been filled. And when he opens the door, you can hear him yelling, I'm sorry. But yeah, they
position
cut to,
has been filled and it's completely empty.
It's a complete, yep. It's the whole other room. They cut to like the inside of that room. Nobody's there. He's just, trying to snowball Ziggy there.
Yep.
And he does. He succeeds in getting Ziggy to fall for his scheme. Ziggy just doesn't know it yet.
Right.
And so he's like, I'll go.
And you said, they took it all poorly, but we all can't be winners.
Yeah. And then he says, oh, no rest for the winners. But I love how he keeps emphasizing. Now, remember, anything you collect, you have to bring right back to me.
Don't you bring me the money.
Exactly. Yeah. So, this guy's fishy. But Ziggy's just, he's completely clueless or he's like just completely naive. Or
maybe a little bit of both.
I was going to say a combo of the two. And so he, he starts on his way. And this is where I think we first see the thief, don't we? Like he first makes his little appearance here.
No. First we see him back when he was heading to the loan company because he had dropped, the help wanted ad when he,
right.
That's where the thief was.
That's where we first see him.
And swipes O'Connor's wallet.
His wallet. Yep. And he's.
Yep. So that was before then.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. But I love the look of the thief. He's got that big, long, kind of pointy nose. His mustache is like super scraggly. For some reason, he's like a grayish color.
He kind of reminds me, I don't know if you remember the. Like a Mad Magazine, the Spy versus Spy.
I loved Spy versus Spy. Yeah.
That's kind of reminded me of that, but I think this came out before Spy versus Spy, if I'm not mistaken.
I honestly don't. That's something I'd have to look up, but that was one of my favorite bits in Mad Magazine all the time.
That's kind of what reminded me. It was one of those spies in there.
Yeah, because he's got the long nose. He's real shifty, the dark clothes. Of course, later on, he steals something from the Santa, but we'll get to that.
Yep.
But I love how Ziggy, he starts ringing his bell, and the thief is there.
He's by the mailbox.
Mm-hmm. He's by the mailbox.
This is the funny part. And he's inside the mailbox.
And a lady comes by, and it seems like it's quite some time. He really reaches to go grab one of her presents that she's holding and he takes it. And then someone else comes to mail a package and he just kind of like shoves it down.
And you hear the grunt.
And you just see the thief's arms like stiffen up and slowly be pushed down into the mailbox.
Right. Yeah. I laugh every time at that.
Me too. It's such a good bit. But I love how Ziggy's dog kind of like knows something's not quite right here. And he's just like looking around, like what's going on. And that's when we get this other bigger Santa.
And right, but right before that, I can't remember exactly what happens, but he knocks or maybe he's just trying to get out of the mailbox and it tips over onto the sled.
Yes.
Pulls up the cauldron and mm-hmm. lands on there. And then you just see his eyes going up and down.
I miss the eyes. I completely miss the eyes.
It's like a little crack near the top and you just see him going up and down.
I'm going to have to watch it again just because I love to find little things like that that I missed.
And but then the big guy comes.
Then the big guy, he's also dressed as Santa. And I love how instead of finding his own spot, he comes right up next to Ziggy.
Flops down.
And he just.
And you notice his bell's like 3 octaves lower.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. And he just starts ringing it. And Ziggy, of course, sees it. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take off.
Did you notice what Little Fuzz did to the
Yes, guy? I did. I was about to ask you, was that what I thought it was?
Yes, it was. And you see a little yellow puddle come, and then you see the dog walk off, and you see a guy lift his foot.
He lifts his foot, and then he just puts it back down and keeps ringing. And this is when the thief, and this is like a, I don't know if this is brilliant or if the guy was just that crazy or what, but he just starts like taking the Santa outfit off of the you know, the big Santa.
And he's just kind of looking around. How dense like, what's does going the big on? Santa have to be? How dense do you have to be to just kind of go, huh, what's going on as your clothes ripped off of you?
But it's animated so brilliantly because all you see is like the hands, you know, and the arms kind of creep up and then whoosh, and it's like disappeared. And he just keeps looking down like, huh. Like
I love how the pants just kind of come off almost like basketball pants and rip, but
yeah. They have the snaps on the side or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's so great. Because he just takes it all, and so the thief puts it on and he's gonna follow Ziggy because we do see some children and some people putting money in Ziggy's pot. So the thief knows he's got some money in there.
Yep.
And so, yeah, he's going to follow him because he knows that there's cash. And so he puts the Santa outfit on himself. And, of course, it's also really big on him. It's kind of long and flowy at the bottom. And, I mean, it's another great little bit there that the skinny, right. The super thin guy is just in this big, you know, kind of flowy outfit.
So he goes and does what the big guy plops right next to Ziggy.
Yeah. Yes.
Again.
And as he's trying to like grab the, you know, the bucket or the cauldron or whatever you want to call it, you know, where Ziggy's money is, Fuzz, Ziggy's dog, he notices that something's up. And so he starts attacking him. And this is where, again, that dog is like so intuitive and he just so observant. He knows exactly what's happening, which, you know, if you think about it in real life, dogs really are like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they pretty much are.
Yeah, they know exactly who's, you know, they can tell good from bad a lot of times. And so, he just starts attacking the thief. And
thief gets his foot caught in his own cauldron.
In his own cauldron because he had switched cauldrons, but he gets it caught in his own and walks off with his own cauldron.
with the dog actually clamped onto his leg.
Yes. And as he's running away, that's when he grabs a little piece of the cloth of the coat, or is that later on?
The dog comes back with a little piece of the cloth.
Right. So he had bitten him, and I guess he ripped some of the cloth off. And then Ziggy sees a little cat, or he sees the cloth and just puts it in his pocket. Yep. And as he's walking by, he sees the cat. And so he starts to put he ties it as like a little scarf around the cat to keep him warm. Which there was a cool bit when he's walking off and you see the cat just sitting there with the scarf, but it kind of makes him look like a little bit like a lion. I don't know if.
Yep. But that, and also too, you get to see a star in the sky.
Yes. Yeah. That one I did see.
But did you notice too? I mean, through this whole thing, every outdoor scene, you see a sun, you see a star, but it's snowing. Clear skies, but it's snowing. Again, cartoon logic.
Cartoon logic. Yeah. You know, sometimes you need the atmosphere and sometimes you don't.
I mean, it didn't detract at all from it. It's just one of those, if you're looking at it from a critical point of view, that's just something you kind of notice that's funny. So
yeah.
But it doesn't change my love for the show at all.
No, I mean, especially when you consider the fact that they actually like drew these on the cells themselves. Mm-hmm. So most of the time they, you know, artists will draw that and then it's kind of photocopied onto the cell. But in this case, they actually drew it on the cell, which is amazing. Yeah. And I think there was over like 30,000 shots
or 30,000 cells that they mm-hmm. used. Yep.
Yeah, that's just like, wow. You know, for a 24-minute special, I mean, that's amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot when they used to do actually hand-drawn all that stuff. It's mm-hmm. crazy. I don't know if the animators made as much as they should have back then for all the work that they had to do.
Yeah, you're probably right. But, you know, hopefully at least today, maybe they get what they should.
Yeah, hopefully. They got a lot of help now, too.
Yeah, you're right about that. But this is where we finally get to the the Christmas turkeys.
Yep.
He's walking. I guess he's trying to find another spot. Is that what it is at this point?
It could be. I think, and that's what he's doing. And as he walks by a deli. It says eat, and then the open sign says open. Don't expect much.
Oh man!
I caught that this last couple of viewings here. I'd never really looked at those other signs. Much. And that one just caught my eye and said, like, open, don't expect much.
Well, I just love when he gets to the, you know, it says Meat Mart. Mm-hmm. And in the back, I mean, it just says live Christmas turkeys. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's what, like 12 of them, I think. I
don't know, he couldn't talk.
Yeah.
Why
yeah,
eat you turkeys? How can I count you with all this gobble gobble?
Yeah. I may or may not be saying that later, but... I guess he's definitely from some sort of Slavic country, that I accent. I don't know if it's Russian or what, but it's, I mean, it's definitely something like that. And mm-hmm. it's so funny. And because he's like, you know, you want turkey, how many turkeys you want? And
all of them. And as they're negotiating, this thief, I don't know how he gets into these different.
I don't either.
He's in a mailbox. He's in a garbage can. He's in a box.
Yes.
By all these crates.
Like a crate, yeah.
And he's digging into the. Like how he digs into the cauldron there, and he sticks his head all the way in, trying to look in there, see if he can see anything in there. At least that's what I interpreted as. It's hard to tell.
Or
if it's his hand in there, because his arms and his neck are about the same width.
Like, well, that's true. Yeah, yeah, you're right. He is very, very lanky. Yes. So. But I love how, you know, Ziggy, he sees it and he immediately, he has like some sort of empathy, you know, for these turkeys. He feels bad for them. And so he has to free them, you know.
When he comes up, you look at the turkeys and they all got this sad expression on their face, like they know what's going to happen to them.
Pretty much, so
they're,
yeah.
They're pretty much crying to him, like, please help us.
Help us, yeah. But I love it. It's just like their necks sticking out of like holes mm-hmm. in the, you know, slats in these crates.
Yep, and then he goes, you want a nice turkey? Here, he grabs him by the neck. Here's a nice turkey.
Yes.
Oh, not that one? Here's another one.
So he grabs the money from his cauldron. And
when you see that yellow glow before.
You see the yellow glow again, which is why my daughter thought he really was Santa. Like, he made it appear. You know, so I just... You know, it is what it is. She's eight, but he grabs the money and I guess they negotiate $175 or something mm-hmm. for all of them. And then he just kind of frees them all.
Marches military style.
Military style, yeah. Face,
and then frees them all.
And yeah.
Before that, actually, Ziggy had went to the Salvation Army singers.
Oh, yes.
That mm-hmm. was before that. And the thief was in a fire hydrant. And that's that's when the thief first sees Ziggy pull money out of his cauldron with that glow. And that's when he gets really interested.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or the mailbox.
Well, there's a cool thing. Cause he's walking, he sees the Salvation Army singers, which they were singing, you know, pretty well actually. But then he also passes by like department store, and in the window, they have like mechanical
angels.
They're supposed to be angels. Yeah. And you know, they end up somehow breaking down. And so then he's walking, Santa. He goes to a Santa, and that one also somehow breaks down.
Just let me to thinking is like, is everything he kind of walked by kind of start breaking down at a certain point? And then after a certain point, he kind of fixes everything, quote unquote.
I guess so. I don't know. Gentrification,
that was kinda,
man.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it really was. Cause he stops and kind of looks at it, and then he keeps going. And, but yeah, he just lets them all free, And I love how the butcher is just like, oh, crazy people here. And so then the cop, who's been kind of suspicious of Ziggy this whole time, he comes
up. Mr. Police Guy.
Mr. Police Guy, yeah. Which I was cracking up at that. Oh, Mr. Police Guy. And so he kind of, he's like, well, you know, what did the little guy want and all that kind of thing. And so they kind of talk, or have you seen, you know, have you seen the guy about this little? And
that's right. That's yeah. right.
And so then he tells him that he bought all the turkeys, but then he just let him go. And
he got the money out of his cauldron.
So yeah, he's like, oh.
The cop on the, he's part of the scam.
He thinks he's part of, yeah, exactly.
Which technically he is, but he's so innocent and naive that he doesn't realize.
He doesn't know he is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely getting scammed as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, but there's some great lines there. You have this big iron kettle.
Yep. And at the very last scene, you see this turkey pop his head up like, hello, where am I going?
Yeah, yeah.
Gone.
Hey, run, turkey, run. You're going to be in trouble if you don't. but yeah, I love it because then do you remember these? Like they had those police boxes. They were like yes. a call box, you know, where they would open it up.
I think those were in the bigger cities. They never had them here with me growing up, but I do remember, and I don't know if it was actually this that for was first introduced to or not, but I do remember those being a thing back in that time.
Yeah, well, see, this is where I first saw them, and I realized that they had them, and then of course, I don't know when they got rid of them, but that's how I knew about them was from this special.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool. It just reminded me of, you know, growing up. And I wasn't from a small, from a big town. I mean, we're pretty small, but there's a bunch of little small towns that are almost all connected together by like a street, you know? So like you cross the street, you're in the next one. And that's pretty much what like the Rio Grande Valley was. And then of course you could drive a little bit further, like, you know, 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes to get to the next section. But essentially that's what it was. And so I remembered all that. And so that really took me back like, oh yeah, they had those police call boxes. But I love it because O'Connor, Officer O'Connor, he uses the phone and he's got like all the Santas and even the loan shark guy.
Yep.
All in a paddy wagon.
And, yep. And he calls the boss, and the boss is again another stereotypical sergeant.
Yes.
Yep. Gruff.
Got his mustache and yeah. Yep. He's so, like, did you get them all? Even the little guy. The little guy.
Get me the little guy. And he's like pounding on his pencil, and then he loses his pencil and you just see him like not looking down, but just trying to grope for the pencil and finds it again.
See, it's little things like that you could tell why it won the Emmy, because there's a lot of little details in there that you don't mm-hmm. expect to find.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how much did Tom put into this that he pulled up from his comic? But he was in his heyday. He's like, oh, I can put these little things in here and there. Yeah. That he couldn't quite do probably the way he wanted to in an animated cell or a single right. picture frame.
Right, yeah. And it really is. It's just, it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it just really does remind you of the strip, you know?
Yep.
And so I really appreciated that because I enjoyed the strip. I love that one. Of course, I was also into like Hagar the Horrible and, you know, all those there. Was it Drabble? I think that's what it was. Do you remember Drabble?
Was it Drabble or Dribble?
Dribble. Maybe. I don't remember. Drabble, but
something like that. Like I remember. That, I remember what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was another one of my favorites. And so it was one of those that I couldn't wait for Sunday comics because those ones were in color.
You know? Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, the singles, the one lines were great, but I always waited for those big color ones.
Exactly. Too. Yep.
It's like waiting for Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes. It's the exact same thing. It was cool. And I really dug it. But then we get another really touching moment where Ziggy's like walking back and, you know, night, it's starting to get night and he sees like an older gentleman, homeless, presumably just shivering on the street, you know, his mm-hmm. head's down kind of between his knees. He's got him, you know, close to his chest and he sees him and he takes off his coat and puts it around him and then he gives
puts
him
the
hat
on him.
And as he's walking away, you know, the mm-hmm. the gentleman says something like, God bless you, son, or something like that.
Right. Well, and before that, with O'Connor, Not only he rips his pants when he walks away from the police box. the loan shark guy is, I'm getting out of this Santa
business.
Oh,
he's got a great line there, yeah.
Says, I think I'm going to go into politics.
Yeah. He's like, it's too seasonal here. He's like,
I'm going to go into politics. So
that's a good line there. But yep. Yeah, O'Connor rips his, he ends up ripping his pants. And of course the guys in the paddy, all the Santas in the paddy wagon start to laugh.
And then start acting like turkeys. They start gobbling and one takes a Santa hat, puts it as the waddle. And
but I love how that one Santa that the thief stole the outfit from is also in there. And yep. He's still got, you know, his, just his, you know, undershirt and his boxers. On. Yeah. yeah, that's good stuff. So of course, you know, the thief now finally catches up to Ziggy and he's really trying. And so, you know, the dog and the cat who has now joined Ziggy as well on his adventures.
Because Ziggy was oblivious when
he didn't know anything.
First grabbed it. And it wasn't until the cat got on the head and started screeching that Ziggy actually turned around.
And then he turns around and sees him. Yeah. And so then he starts like playing tug of war essentially, you know, for the bucket the or cauldron or whatever you want to call it. He kind of is like running it. They're tugging and tugging. And he kind of goes around the corner and O'Connor sees him and he's like, ha, you thought you could fool me without your Santa outfit.
And this leads me back to that comment by the loan shark. If you looked on that picket fence, there's a sign on there. It says vote. And it's got the picture of the loan shark guy on it.
Nice.
Like how he tied those two together.
So maybe he was doing this scheme to finance his political career.
Possibly. But I just thought that one pretty neat.
I don't know. But yeah, that's funny. That's a good bit.
That was really good. I laughed at that one when I finally saw it. Because as a young kid, you don't see that stuff. That's more for the adults that are paying more attention.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that I never understood as a kid when I saw it was, you know, so the cop is dragging Ziggy and the thief. They're still fighting over the bucket. Mm-hmm. And the girl says Santa Claus. They look out the window and they see them. And so right away, the cop starts singing, pretending he's like a caroler, you know, singing Silent Night.
Right.
So I never, as a kid, I didn't quite get like, why did he just start singing? Of course, now as an adult, it's like, oh yeah, of course. So that makes sense.
You want the kids to see the fighting and whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah. but yeah, it was just one of those when I saw it, I was like, huh? Why? He just starts singing.
Yeah. What I found funny too is O'Connor starts singing and the thief is just staring at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Look at him. Yeah. Like what? Neck and stretched out almost into his face. Like, are you crazy, man?
Well, and he kind of gives them like the shifty eye too. And so then they all start singing. Yep. And I love that the thief is actually singing a harmony line, which I thought was really, really cool. You know, he kind of does that, you know, that, what is it? I guess technically it's like a sixth lower, but you know, a third above or whatever. And so he's singing that harmony and he's got,
I think
more
Ziggy's
like a baritone
in there with him too. Yeah.
Could be. Yeah.
But it's hard to differentiate if there's a third voice that I really couldn't tell. I've always, I mean, every time I've seen it, I've always tried to see if I could hear Ziggy in there too. And you see Ziggy's lips moving, but you don't know if you hear his voice in there or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never did, but now I kind of want to. I'm gonna listen to it again. I'm gonna, you know, crank the volume up and so make sure no one's home when I do that, I guess. But I mean, it's great. And then, you know, the cop at this point still thinks Ziggy's guilty. He just notices the thief now, and he's like, "Oh, your friend. I'll take you both down to the station," kind of a thing. And the lady who runs this place, it turns out it's actually a foster home. And there's a bunch of, you know, children in the window, which is why they started singing. She's like, come inside, come in. You know, we never get visitors on Christmas Eve. And, you know, she's like, that was beautiful. That I guess she's a caretaker. Yeah. Come in for some hot chocolate.
And she's standing over the door. And then you see the cat and the dog sitting out there. She leaves the door open. The cat and dog just sit there and start going in. And only when the door shuts do they go up.
Then they start pawing. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, guys, you had ample amount of time.
Plenty of opportunity.
I know how dogs and cats work. You leave that amount of gap, boom, they're in. Like,
they're in. Oh, yeah, for real.
0.2 seconds, they're inside.
That is very, very true. Wow, they're just very obedient for, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, sets up a later scene, so.
It does, yeah, because, you know, while they're there.
I like how uncomfortable O'Connor and the thief are with the kids just staring at him. And now Ziggy gets, this is Ziggy's turning point, where he becomes aware of everything and gets the ideas, and you see him actually get the spark of an idea and goes back outside.
And he goes outside and he grabs the tree and, mm-hmm. and everything. And so he brings that in, and the cat
mm-hmm. and the dog
they come in. They both come in, and
the children are just enamored by the cat. I mean, you just hear him, kitty, kitty.
Kitty, yeah. Yeah, which is what my one-year-old said as well when she was, like, you know, kitty. Well, she said kitty cat, although it comes out like kitty cat. Kit Kat, you know, kind of thing. And mm-hmm. that's what she said when she saw it. I thought, oh, wow, this is too close. It's too, you know, it's hitting too close to home here. Was it the scarf or was it a ball of yarn?
The one girl takes the cat, puts her up in the chair.
Yes.
And then there's a whole knitting.
The yarn. That's what it was.
And the cat hits the yarn.
And it kind of falls onto the tree. It kind of looks like garland. So then Ziggy grabs it and starts to make it look like a tree. And so then I love how they all just kind of turn to O'Connor and, you know.
The little one points at his badge.
Yeah, just staring at his badge. And so he's.
And the badge glows.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like every time something important is about to happen, there's like a special glow.
Yep.
And I guess it's just the gift of, you know, the giving, which, by the way, I should mention at this point that Harry Nilsson wrote the, you know, the
I noticed music that for in these, the end credits. Yeah.
You know, the joy and the giving song. Mm-hmm. And I think he sang it too. But it, you know, Harry Nilsson, I know from the Lime and the Coconut song, mm-hmm. Coconut.
Yep.
He's done, of course, many other things, but that's like how I know him most.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one of his. I like.
So yeah, there's like that whole theme of joy and giving that they keep singing in that song. And so, you know, it glows. Like every time there's a big giving moment, you know, mm-hmm. you get that glow. And so he takes off his badge and kind of puts it, makes it like a makeshift star on the tree. And
then it just lights up the whole house.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great, it's like a great moment there. And the thief is just, you know, so uncomfortable until one of the little girls is like, you know,
Did you bring me something?
And so he reluctantly. He's
possessive of the bag. And then real quick kind of reaches in and very begrudgingly hands the package he stole in the beginning.
Very reluctantly. Yeah.
And then this was kind of awkward on rewatching it as an adult. The little girl goes and grabs him, kisses him on the lips instead of like on the cheek.
Oh, was it on the lips? I see.
It looked on the lips to me.
I thought it was on the cheek, but I you know, you saw it three times today and I only saw it once. So my memory could be wrong. But yeah, so she, you know, he kind of blushes a tiny bit, doesn't he?
Yep. He blushes a little bit and uh-huh. pulls out the, because he did steal a watch earlier. So he pulls it out, gives another kid.
Yeah, he starts giving it because she even says, like, look what Santa Claus brought me or something like that. So all the kids go up to him. And so at this point, he's like, what else can I do here?
He gives the watch.
He gives the watch.
And then he's like thinking he's out of things. And then all of a sudden, there's the glow.
There's the glow. And there's a teddy bear in there. And
a truck.
Yeah, it's like a train set or something.
There's a truck and then a train.
And a train, yep. And so. Yep. But
and then he thinks he's done. and then Ziggy, here comes Ziggy.
Here comes Ziggy, and he, you know, he notices there's still a little bit in that pouch there. And so
I like how he looks in. I mean, it's like completely dark, and yet he can still see and knows what it is in there with his head.
In this big old sack. Yep. And he pulls it out, and it is the wallet. Yeah, it's the
wallet. He pulls it out, and it says O'Connor on his wallet.
From the cop.
And he gives it to the cop, and then the cop goes, thank you, Santa Claus, very sarcastically.
Yes, yeah. He gives him, he's kind of almost winking at him. And oh man, that thief is just kind of like, like,
get a feeling O'Connor's not going to do anything because the thief came clean and has given this out.
He's giving it all back. Yeah.
Kind of where the thief gets his redemption in this is he's given it back, so he's not going to go to jail.
Right.
Connor by returning what he stole.
Well, see, and halfway through the giving out of the stuff in the sack, it almost seems like he kind of starts to enjoy the giving of it too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know if that's just me reading into it, but I mean, that was the impression that I got.
Yeah, he does have, you can see a little change in his demeanor.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, in the end, you know, they all have the hot chocolate and they're just kind of, you know, there with the kids, with the toys.
And to the little guys.
To the little guys, yeah.
To the little guys, talking about kids. And he goes, and especially this little guy. And that's when you see Ziggy blush.
Yeah. And his generous Santa friend.
Yep. You see the sheepish grin by the
yeah, very much so. Oh man, this is a great special. I mean,
and then they're not quite done yet, because then Ziggy goes to leave and he gets wrapped up and wraps up the dog, and then the cat starts following, and then you hear the kids go kitty. And it's like a back and forth. The cat's looking at Ziggy, looking at the kids, looking at Ziggy. And then Ziggy finally just goes and almost kind of gives a little pat in the rear end, or just gives like an acknowledgement. Like, yeah, okay, go with him. And the cat comes up to the kids and makes the kids' day.
Yeah. It was
and
a really...
go outside and walk off into the...
And then that's it, yeah.
Into the night.
It's a really sweet special.
It is.
And I wish that it got more play, you know?
Yeah, it didn't get played a whole lot. I think, mm-mm. I'm not sure how many years it got played. Maybe a couple.
Yeah, I've been trying to find. I've been trying to find that information, and I just couldn't. No matter where I looked, like all my usual channels, don't seem to have the, you know, how many times it was aired or anything like that.
Right. I just know that I remember seeing it as a kid, and then as I became a parent myself, and was getting back into the. Getting into the Christmas spirit as an adult, and wanting to get back all these movies that I saw when I was a kid. This was one of them I searched and searched for until I found the DVD of it.
Nice.
Because I think I had it on VHS tape. I found it on that. And then
It
on DVD.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Gibbons, Tony Giorgio. Yeah, this is really good, and it brought back. I mean, because I remember I saw it. I don't think I saw it when it first aired, but I know I'd seen it. So we might have rented it from Movieland Video, honestly, because we did rent a bunch of those. Or it was either that, or my aunt had it. This is one where my memory is starting to fail me, and I'm starting to feel my age a bit. But I don't remember exactly where we had it, but I know we saw it several times, and I want to say my aunt had it in, like, whenever we'd go visit, it was in the library. We'd check it out from the library, because we'd get those like anthologies of just various cartoons that they used to have all together sometimes. And I think this was one of them from there.
Okay.
But
yeah, like I said, I remember seeing this when it was on TV and seeing it with my mom. And like I said, the biggest thing was the Twinkies. That's my first memory of that is I remember being on TV.
Well, and I love it, because even the cop starts to pronounce it like that, and he corrects himself. Yeah, like, I mean turkeys. in his Irish accent. Yep. And it really wasn't that much of a difference, honestly.
Not really. A little more pronunciation of the R.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So would you say that was your happiest moment, just watching it for the first time?
Yep. I wasn't going to jump the gun on that one.
I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my happiest moment, was as a kid watching on TV with my mom and my brother, and just those fun memories of having to go to the bathroom and beat the commercials.
Yeah. It's on. And then you'd have to run as fast as you could.
Yeah. Leaping over furniture left and right.
Yeah, exactly. See, and I know I saw this one pretty early, because I don't think my youngest brother was born yet, because he wasn't born until 85. So I remember watching this with my middle child, my other brother. And so it was before we got our house. I think we were in what we used to call the brown house, because we didn't, I don't remember what street it was on or anything. I just remember it was brown. So we would call it the brown house. And I think we were in the brown house when we watched this. And so I have that memory of just David and I actually watching it, and Danny wasn't even around yet. But yeah,
my brother was like one, when this came out, and two, so I think it might have been like the year after I saw it then too.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. This is a good one. I know I said it, but I really wish it had gotten more play, because I would have loved to have seen it more often.
You know, definitely.
Like, it's a shame when they kind of stopped showing Garfield's Christmas also, because I think it would have paired well with Garfield's Christmas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of has that same vibe to it. I mean, even though, yeah, I know it's a different network and all that, but I mean, it's still, I think it would have been very cool to have both of them together.
Yeah, you gotta love the networks.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes they can play nice, but most of the time they don't.
Right.
Oh, man. But now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little bit I like to call Gag Me with a Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the special. And I know it's really hard because it's all really quite good.
Right.
But as a guest, I'll let you go first. Just kind of set up the scene for us, and then we'll put it up to the listeners to vote.
All right. Well, this is the fly-by-night guy.
Okay.
And we talked about the scene is where he's talking in to the other guys, in quotes, that were in for the interview. And he's like, "Dreadfully sorry. Thank you for being so patient. I'm afraid the position has been filled."
That was good.
I can't quite get as nasally as he could, but that's about the best as I could do.
Well, it's probably better than mine. I'm going to try. But so I loved the whole scene with the butcher, but there was one line that just bothered me. And I think it's because his accent is just a little too thick there. And so I even tried to write it out phonetically, like the way like the way he would say it, so I can get it right. And it's something you mentioned earlier. It was like, "Who can count with all this gobble gobble business?"
"Quiet all you turkeys.
All you turkeys." Oh, man. So now I'll leave it up to you listeners. Was it Sean or myself who had the better impression? I think you're okay though, Sean, because I haven't won yet. So, so you're probably all right there.
I tend to have Ziggy's luck in the beginning of the show, so it wouldn't surprise me if you won this time.
No, yeah. There was only like twice where it came really close, but in the end, I still lost. So, no, I think you might still have Ziggy's luck, and it might be close, and then all of a sudden, bam! I don't know. But either way, I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide our fates. But you know, I do have to ask now. You know, G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
The other half is probably, no matter how naive or oblivious you are to your surroundings, if you have a great heart, you can accomplish great things.
Wow. That's really good. That's like way better than mine. Mine is, so is, if knowing's half the battle, the other half is to beware of the dog.
Yeah, that dog knows everything, so.
He does. He sure does. Oh, man. Sean, this was a lot of fun. It was a great episode. I had fun going back and just, you know, bringing up all those memories with you. And, you know, what do you want to plug? I mean, tell me about your show.
Well, I host the Christmas Podcasts, which you are a part of, our website, christmaspodcasts.com. We just basically want to get more exposure to Christmas podcasts to the listeners, especially with this year of COVID and people really, really wanting more Christmas. And then there's a bunch of podcasts that have sparked up this year because of the quarantine and everything. We just want to bring podcasts to the listeners to give them a wide variety, like your show with the 80s. We got like Tis the Podcast. You get movie reviews. We have Chris, John, and from Yuletide TV.
Mm-hmm.
They're on there. We got Glenn Warren, Seasons Eatings. We got Todd Killiam, Christmas Clatter. Just a bunch of them to give a wide variety of tastes and keep people up to date on when new episodes drop. I do a weekly podcast and just let you know which new episodes drop. And Craig Kringle just had his episode drop, which was like, great. And now it's Christmas. Craig's starting to drop episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to see those episodes come in and drop. And I listened to podcasts for almost 10 years, almost since the beginning of the very first one that I remember. It may not be the first one, but it was Jeff Westover's Mary podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved the way he did it. And I loved that the fact that it wasn't necessarily a talk radio type podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of talk radio, but I love the informative stuff that Jeff had. I love like the reviews to see what other people think of movies that I like with Julia Tom and Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't necessarily like the movie like I do. Yeah, I like hearing their perspective on movies, even if it doesn't necessarily correlate with mine, if it's opposite of mine, because it gives me a different perspective to look at the movie at, not necessarily change my opinion of the movie, mm-hmm. but it gives me a different view of the movie. So that's why I like those movie review ones. Dwayne Bailey from Tinsel Toons music. Mm-hmm. I love Christmas music. I'm huge into music, even though I can't play like you can, or like Dwayne can.
Mm-hmm.
But I also work part-time at a radio station. That's my love, is to play music.
Nice.
I grew up around music. So, I mean, that's my favorite part of Christmas is music. So Dwayne Bailey giving different views on it. Then you got Scott from Jingle Jank, Scott and Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Even the obscure ones that I've never heard of. And I've heard some pretty obscure ones with my time on mymerrychristmas.com with the forums and the people there. So, so Christmas podcasts is my way of bringing that, my love of those podcasts. And even some podcasts that I don't necessarily care for myself, but I know people would like the podcast. They're a good mm-hmm. podcast. They're just not up my alley. So I want to bring a wide variety, because I'm not going to necessarily, if it's a good podcast, but not necessarily something I like,
mm-hmm.
I still want to bring that to people, because people deserve to have a wide variety.
Right,
so
on.
That's where this comes from. So yeah, christmaspodcasts.com is where we have a listing of all the podcasts, Totally Rad Christmas being one of them, and plus all the other ones that I mentioned are on there too. And we're always looking for new ones. So if anybody's out there has got a podcast they're doing, they want to get on, they just go in and apply to become a part of the podcast, and we take it from there.
And where can they where can they find you besides christmaspodcasts.com?
Christmaspodcasts.com is where we have that. I'm also personally on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. You can just look up my name, Sean. It's spelled like Sean Connery. And then Sadka is really a Finnish name that's fun to say, as you found out at the beginning.
Sorry so, about that.
No, that's okay.
I'm used to names like Garcia and, you know, yep. Solis and things like that.
Yeah, but on Twitter, I'm at Xander0527, X-A-N-D-E-R. And then you can just, like I said, just search my name on there. I'm also big on the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com. So that's a huge website that people can go to if they need a little Christmas.
Right on. Sounds great. I have to say, yeah, definitely check it out. I was on there just recently, and we had a pretty good fun conversation. And
Even with the technical difficulties I had on my end, I mean, I sound like junk, at least worse than I normally do. And but yeah, that was the last episode that before this recording of this, but it was the last episode you were on. We had that recording, and I had a blast.
It was, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so thank you so much. But definitely check out definitely check out christmaspodcasts.com. It's really cool. You'll learn a lot about different ones. And my goal is to have every host of a Christmas podcast on my show as well. And so, of course, you were included in that because you have your own Christmas podcast.
Thank you. I enjoyed this time.
And I did too. Thank you so much for coming on. It was so much fun. And on that note, I'm going to end it by saying to the little guy and his generous Santa friend. And you can check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling as giving as Ziggy, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sean, and I host the Christmas Podcasts podcast. We work in conjunction with ChristmasPodcasts.com and our goal is to bring the world of Christmas podcasts to the masses. We work with Christmas creators to let you know who they are, what their podcast is about, and to bring their podcasts to your attention. If you are looking for your Christmas podcast fix, you've come to the right place. We are Christmas creators ourselves. We have been making merry online since 1991 over at MyMerryChristmas.com. We don't do this to toot our own horn, though. ChristmasPodcasts.com, like most of what we do, is completely fan-driven. It was born of an idea that the world of Christmas Online needed a resource like this. Instead of building it into our own website, we just provide the technical support needed for the Christmas community to make it happen. Christmas Podcasts Podcast is all about you, the fans of Christmas and podcasts.